The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Speed limits are being reduced on Irish roads from tomorrow. If you're one of the people who believe it won't make any difference, well, Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, is going to tell you why you are wrong. And Ger is on the line now. Ger, good morning.
Yeah, I don't write those headlines, Pat.
Okay, but you've been looking at the speed limits. And
that'll really irk some people.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about the mythology around speed limits and the lowering of the speed limits and what they are designed to achieve.
Yeah, so I've just over the last week, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of outrage about the idea of reducing speed limits, particularly on social media. I think there's a lot of confusion about what actually is happening tomorrow. And I'm not sure people realise we're literally talking about rural local roads. These are roads that link communities. You know, they're roads that are designed for walkers and cyclists and as much as anything else, and for kids to be able to get to school. And that's what we're talking about. This is not a reduction across the road network in Ireland. And the later reductions, which are probably going to be even more controversial, the 30 kilometres in built-up areas and the national and secondary roads being reduced from 100 to 80 is going to happen later in the year. So this is literally, well, for tomorrow, what we're talking about anyway, are rural roads.
And of course, the speed limits will only come into effect when they are so signposted by the local authorities. I mean, if there's no signpost, you have to assume the lower limit, but there may be existing signs that haven't yet been changed. And they can't, I mean, expect you to do lower than the speed limit declared by them on a signpost indicates.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in all the communication from the government on this, apparently the local authorities will have the road signs in place. They're simply replacing, on the roads that are going to be changed, they're simply replacing 80 kilometre speed limits with 60 kilometre speed limit signs. Now, I do notice in my own area, they're masked out. They're sort of like, there's like black like refuse sacks over the new speed limits ready to go in. So they are in place and ready. As you said, they have to be in place tomorrow if any enforcement is going to take place.
Now, you've been talking about the different myths. And myth one, eradicating road deaths is impossible without completely banning cars.
Yeah, well, this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but a lot of people say, oh, you'll never get to Vision Zero and we'll never have, zero collisions on the road unless we ban cars. The fact of the matter is, though, I mean, you know, we have a choice. The choices in life are not doing nothing or banning. There's somewhere in between. And if you look at how we have slashed road deaths over the last decades, and particularly if you go back to 1978, like 627 people died on our roads. That was at a time when we had much less cars and we had a smaller population. But obviously, you know, between the enforcement of wearing seatbelts, safer cars, motorways, better road design, stricter drink driving laws that came in the 80s and 90s and more recently as well have made a huge difference to this. So, you know, sensible policies based on actual evidence have made a huge difference to the number of people dying on our roads.
The second myth you want to bust is speed limit reductions are only about reducing fatalities and nothing more.
Yeah, this was something I saw saying, somebody said to me, but what happens if by this time next year we haven't reduced fatalities? But it's not just about fatalities, particularly with the changes that are coming in tomorrow. It's about making these roads more livable. And, you know, we have a situation now where a lot of those rural roads can't take a speed limit of 80 kilometres, but people will still try it. The speed limit says I can do 80, so therefore I'm going to try. And as a result, even if you're driving those roads and you're staying within the law, it's still too fast for maybe other people in cars, for people on the road to be able to send your kids to school, cycling or whatever. So it's not just about reducing fatalities and injuries.
Okay, making the whole road network a little more livable for everybody. I mean, in rural Ireland particularly, you might round a bend and there's a tractor, you know.
Yeah.
Or there's a herd of cattle. And maybe if you're on a motorbike, you come around the corner and there's a cow patty and you're going to lose your back wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even just the reference I made very briefly at the start of that piece was on my own road. It's right beside the canal. Now, it is, you know, occasionally throughout the winter, you will see cars being tossed into the canal because people are just going too fast. So it's things like that. It is that safety as well, though. I mean, you know, I think speed limits tell people what a road can take. Even though we know they're not targets, they still give people information about a road. And if it's setting it too high, it's giving drivers the wrong information. And I think that's another really important point about speed limits.
Okay, myth number three. It's only young men crashing, so why punish everybody?
Yeah, so there's two things here. It's the young men crashing and the punishment aspect to it. Yes, there's no doubt about it. Men are statistically far more likely to be involved in serious crashes. We know that almost 80% of fatalities on our roads are males. They're not necessarily young, but they are males. There's a lot of young males as well, though, who figure in those figure highly in those stats. But I mean, the point is, if we make the roads safe for everyone, we make it safer for young men as well. And I suppose the idea, the point I made there was, you know, if we have lower speed limits, we give drivers, including young male drivers, a fighting chance of walking away from a mistake. Because if you come flying around a bend, you know, at high speed and you meet another car at high speed, that has a much worse impact than meeting somebody who's driving at a much slower speed.
Another myth, speeding isn't the real problem. The real problem, mobile phones and drink driving.
Yeah, Twitter is full of this at the moment. And absolutely, mobile phones, distraction, we've spoken about this many times, Pat, is a huge issue on our road. Drink driving, unfortunately, we seem to have less, or we seem to have more tolerance for it at the moment. We also have drug driving. But the point is, by addressing one problem, we're not ignoring others. We need to address all of these things.
Another myth you talk about is we have some of the safest roads in Europe.
Yeah, and I mean, we still figure in the top 10. I think we've moved down to number 7 at this stage. We were up in the top 3 at one stage. We were certainly 4. And yes, since 2019, though, and 2023, Ireland actually saw a 31% increase in road deaths. Now, that's in complete contrast to the rest of Europe. And if you consider, Pat, Poland reduced road deaths at the same time by 35% and Cyprus by 30%. And generally across the EU, there was a 10% reduction. Now, some countries were completely stagnant, Germany and Italy, and just maintained, you know, their normal stats. But I mean, that is definitely something, you know.
But it does depend on your starting point. I mean, if some countries have a very high road death statistic and then they reduce it because they've done something that we did years and years ago, it might suggest they're really doing better than us when in fact they're only catching up with us.
Yeah, absolutely. But I still think if we're going that far against a trend, there's something wrong and we do need to look at our roads. A 31% increase when everybody else is reducing their road debts tells us that something needs to be done.
Myth number 6, lowering national secondary roads to 80 kilometres from 100 is nanny state nonsense.
Yeah, wait for this one later in the year, Pat. The biggest issue here is investment in our roads. It's as simple as that. So if you look, a lot of our national secondary roads are single carriageways. So therefore, you've got traffic going in two different directions, but one can cross over to the other. So the risk of a head-on collision is quite high. Now, in the likes of Sweden, where they have invested hugely in their roads, and there's an awful lot of research about roads and how to make them safer, they never set a speed limit higher than 80, where there is a risk of a head-on collision, because you can be driving the safest car in the road with, you know, and
okay, so where there's no separation of the carriageways going to and fro, they have a maximum speed of 80 kilometres full stop in Sweden.
Yeah, because you will have a fatality if you have a head-on collision above 80, no matter what you're driving. Cars cannot take that sort of energy. So it's as simple as that. So we have two choices here. We either invest in our roads and we separate traffic and then we can have higher speeds, or we simply say these are the roads we have and we have to lower our speed limit.
The final myth, speed limits without enforcement are really pointless.
Yeah, again, I've heard this constantly saying there's absolutely no point changing the signs. And definitely, if there's enforcement, there is greater compliance, there is greater impact. But it has been shown, because thankfully there are people out there who will see a speed limit and obey it. Therefore, if you change the speed limit, you slow down the traffic on that road. So you slow the average speeds. And even by doing that a small amount, you can have quite an impact on the fatality and collision rate.
Now, some of the points coming out from our listeners, I thought the speed limit was only going to reduce speeds where the local council hasn't set a speed limit. That's from Maura. And that is the case, isn't it? They can decide that a higher speed limit is safe, and they indicate that with a signpost.
Yeah, the local authorities, the discretion still lies with them. I mean, the powers haven't been taken away from them. The fact of the matter is the default speed limit, so what the lowest speed limit that is possible on that road, has gone down from 80 to 60. So it's up to them to decide. So if they have a road where they've invested in and they've widened it or whatever, and it's 80 kilometres and they feel it's a justified speed, they can leave it at that.
This one, the lowering of speed limits, all this will do will extend journey times. I live in Offaly. I drive to the northeast for work. It'll make my journey around 45 minutes longer. Enforcement is needed for the limits we have, not changing them.
Yeah, the speed limit review in 2023 looked at various different scenarios, and this was the one that actually had the least impact on journey times because of the rural or the local nature of the network. It's because these are roads that link communities, and they generally are roads that link to higher order roads, so primary roads and secondary roads. It is unlikely that it will have any significant impact on journey times.
Permanent average speed cameras at fatality black spots, it's quite simple. We also need to implant technology so people are freaked out everywhere, and this will change their behaviour. I drive for a living, and driving standards and ignorance, incredible on our roads.
Yeah, unfortunately, where there's a real risk of us getting caught, we tend to modify our behaviour. So, I mean, you know, the more enforcement, the more compliance.
Why can villages, schools, towns not be 30 kilometres as in other countries? We would then have reduced road deaths like they have.
Well, that's coming in later in the year. It's expected around June, but that is for all built up areas. It'll go from 50 to 30.
General points, the roads are badly missing a guard. The present says one, they tried this speed limit reduction in New Zealand. They're reversing it now. That's according to Hugh in Cork.
Yeah, different country, different roads, different policy. I mean, you know, we can learn from other countries, but we don't have to say that we're going to get exactly the same results.
Now, there's one thing, though, Ger, that I think we probably avoid talking about, and that is where you have really slow speed limits, people are much more likely to be doing other things in the car. You know, when you have to drive your car, and you've tested so many cars in all sorts of situations, you're really on your mettle when you're pushing a car through its paces. When you're dawdling at 30 kilometres an hour through a housing estate, who's to say that you're concentrating at all? Because it just appears so slow.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And I have driven in Norway and the Scandinavian countries that had this introduced long before it was even talked about anywhere else. And there's no doubt about it, 30 kilometres is very slow. But the fact of the matter is speed is relative as well, Pat. We get used to these things. And, you know, we probably thought 50 was very slow to be going in urban areas when it was first introduced. So, I mean, it's a matter of just getting used to it. And also, it's the stats are still there. If you abide by the speed limit, it does have such an impact on fatality rates, particularly for pedestrians and cyclists. So in urban areas, you know, I think it's something we're just going to have to get used to.
All right, Ger, thank you very much for joining us. That's Ger Herbert, who is exploding some of the myths attached to the new speed limits.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.